This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
Boy, ain't no way. The Lions are going to the Super Bowl. Psych, I lied. The 49ers are. You have got to be kidding me. The 49ers should have lost. Again, how do they keep getting away with this? How do they play like dog doo-doo in the first half of the last two games, get thoroughly outplayed, and still end up winning? How? How in the world? Come on, man. Okay, maybe I'll give them some credit for tightening up in both games. But come on, some of these mistakes that the Packers and the Lions were making are ridiculous. Like, especially the Lions, man. Like, how many passes did they drop on third and short? How many times did they drop a pass on fourth and short? Jared Goff, accurate, all game. The last fourth and short they went for, in field goal range, by the way, this guy decides to overthrow his receiver. One of his least accurate balls of the night came on a fourth down. Gotta have it. You gotta be kidding me. The Lions were up 24-7, running through the 49ers like a hot knife through butter. And yet still, the 49ers come back in one quarter and tie the game. These guys really scored 27 unanswered.
It's a complete crap.
And I'm sick about it. And you got to be kidding me. The largest halftime deficit overcome in championship history, in conference championship history. Of course, the Lions would allow that to happen. You got to be kidding me. The 49ers shouldn't be anywhere near the Super Bowl right now. The 49ers should not be anywhere near the Super Bowl right now. I'm serious. It should be the Lions or Packers versus either the Chiefs or the Ravens. But we got 49ers and Chiefs. Personally, I'm sick. Most of America don't want to see this. We like parody. We like underdogs. We like fresh, exciting, new. The Chiefs and the Niners, man. I can't say they've dominated, but they have been the most consistent teams the last 5 years. And a lot of fan bases and just most of football watching America, maybe a little more than half. Wow, the Pistons beat the Thunder. Wow. That's their sixth win. That's crazy. And it wasn't even close. Anyway, wow. Maybe I'll talk about that later, but I just found that out. Come on, man. Back to this. I'm just so mad. The 49ers and Chiefs, if you look at it from the perspective of the GOAT level brand, this is exactly what you're looking for when staying on brand is something to aspire to, the consistency of greatness. You know, I mean, on GOAT level Twitter, you know, it's always when ESPN or SportsCenter posts about a dominating win or someone, you know, being up by a lot of points, it's no mercy. It's no mercy. When you're the greatest of all time, when greatness is what you do, you leave people in the dust. That's what you do. And that's what the 49ers and Chiefs have done. 49ers, four out of the last 5 years in the NFC Championship. They could have easily made the Super Bowl last year. I still think the Eagles were a better team last year. It don't matter if Brock Purdy got hurt. They would have lost still because they weren't messing with the bird. And that is the word. I'm serious. They could not block for Brock Purdy last year, and that's how he got hurt. They couldn't block for Josh Johnson, and that's how he got hurt. I will keep repeating that. And then the Niners fans, and this is why Eagles fans don't like them. A lot of Eagles fans don't like them because they complained all year about it and say if they didn't get hurt or if they was healthy, they would have been in the Super Bowl. But if you were that good, you would have still won because you have depth, but you got exposed for not having depth. And this time around, everyone's healthy. And, you know, you needed some miracles to get back to the Super Bowl. And you needed everyone healthy. So if one of those guys got hurt, everyone's healthy now. Okay? No excuses. But you have no depth. So the injury bug didn't hurt you this time. You got lucky on that front. And then your opponents made some boneheaded mistakes. I mean, come on, man. The Lions were on point. Every time they ran the ball, it was like 4 or 5 yards per carry. They got every third down imaginable. Jameson Williams looked like the second coming of, I mean, whatever fast receivers of the league. He looked like the second coming of DeSean Jackson.
Facts.
And then Amon Ross St. Brown couldn't be stopped. And then all of a sudden, third quarter, the receivers stopped catching passes. The defense stopped tackling, stopped covering. And then when they did everything right, the ball bounces off the defender and into the arms of Brandon Ayuk. You have got to be kidding me. And if he didn't catch it, they were going to call pass interference. Like, stuff like that kept happening. And then the fumble by Gibbs because of a mishandle? Like, what kind of stuff is that? Like, somebody got to see what's going on. Because there is no way all that stuff happened at one time to let the 49ers come back. Come on, man. I told y'all they was overrated. And these two games proved it. I said they won't be as dominant with playoff game planning and playoff intensity. And I was right. I should have stood on it. Instead of just saying it and kind of tucking away in the corner, I should have stood on it and took the backlash. Same thing with the Cowboys. You saw what happened with them. I said, yeah, Dak is pretty much in the MVP conversation. This is the best Cowboys team I've seen in a while. Yet, they're overrated because when the playoffs start and there's better game planning and intensity, they won't be as good. And they got bounced in the wild card. But that's when I thought the Eagles were going to step up. What the Chiefs did is exactly what I thought the Eagles were going to do. They switched places. Because I thought the Chiefs were going to lose in the second round to either Buffalo or Cincinnati or even the Ravens. I thought they were going to lose to one of those guys in the second round. They end up going on the road to Buffalo and winning. I really thought this was the time Josh Allen was going to finally get over the hump, and he didn't. And they got past that. Chiefs got past that. And then Baltimore, I was like, all right, this is Baltimore year. Lamar Jackson, MVP, once again. The defense, I mean, sure, their pass defense could be had, but they got a lockdown run defense. They got an all-pro safety. They can run the ball. They can keep the Chiefs offense off the field. Man, I thought it was setting up great. And then they didn't keep the offense off the field. Chiefs pretty much was the better team the whole game. And then on top of that, the Ravens made boneheaded mistakes. How did Zay Flowers, first of all, how do you call a taunting penalty in the playoffs? Second of all, why he fumbled at the end zone? Just two boneheaded plays in one drive is ridiculous. And then they had a roughing the passer penalty. Just very undisciplined for the Ravens. I'm about to check real quick the stats on penalties. Because it just shows a team that's been there before and a team that hasn't been there before. That's pretty much it. Okay, here we go. Or you can flip this and say it's the refs, but this checks out. The Chiefs, 3 penalties, 30 yards. The Ravens, 8 penalties, 95 yards. Time of possession, Chiefs, 37. Ravens, 22. That's supposed to be flipped. How, bruh? That's supposed to be flipped. The Ravens supposed to be the ones with 37 minutes time of possession and hitting the Chiefs in the mouth when they're on defense and running the ball. That's what they do. And you got to be kidding me right now. In rushing attempts, the Chiefs doubled the Ravens' rushing attempts. I mean, what this tells me is, yeah, the Ravens just weren't built for this. And also, they kind of got beat up at the line of scrimmage. They kind of got beat up in the trenches. That has to be it. Because this makes no sense. The Chiefs have double the rushing attempts, about similar yards, but double the rushing attempts, and have 15 more minutes time of possession. You have got to be kidding me. And then 3 turnovers from Baltimore. Like, oh man. You know what? This is the perfect time to do this. And this morning, right? I played Madden to preview the game. I do that sometimes. I wanted to do that with Lions and 49ers, but I didn't have time. So it's the first time I played Madden in over a week because I just haven't had time, period. So I played with the Ravens because that's who I wanted to win. And of course, I'm rusty and I'm not really moving the ball. And it's exactly like the real life game. I go down and score. Well, it was kind of reversed. Chiefs scored first, then Baltimore. But I scored first. They responded. Then they score again. And then I have a chance. I'm moving the ball. I have a chance to tie the game or cut into the deficit. And I throw a pick. And they take advantage and get the field goal 17-7. And just like the real-life Ravens, I didn't run the ball as much as I usually do. I mean, because I wasn't really getting the yards per carry that I was looking for. And plus, I like to take advantage of coverages and stuff. I like to read coverages, but they were taking away some of my hot reads. But long story short, I went on a long drive. I got it to 17-14, but I had 2 more turnovers, including the turnover at the end by a luxurious need. I tried to throw it to Zay Flowers, and how ironic is that? Zay Flowers got stripped at the goal line by luxurious Sneed. So this is kind of the same thing in Madden. I had a chance down 6 to win the game, threw a pick right at the goal line. And honestly, that's what happened with the likely play too. I tried to force it in triple coverage, got picked off. And I'm like, man, it is crazy ironic. It's crazy ironic and cryptic how that preview game went, because it almost went exactly like the real game, and I'm shook. But anyway, man, Chiefs and Niners. So I'm going to my dad's house to watch this game. I'm not that hype about the matchup, but it's the Super Bowl. It's my family, so I'm going to watch it. I'm going to have a good time. I'm still mad about the matchup. And a lot of people aren't happy about this matchup. You got the Chiefs. No one likes them because no one likes to see the same teams in the championship over and over again. Like I said earlier, we like parity. We like, you know, uniqueness. We like creativity. We don't like to see the same thing over and over again. And then you add the Taylor Swift thing to it. Like how they keep showing Taylor Swift during the games in the booth. Like I said last show, I don't really care. I really like Taylor Swift. Her music is just okay. But I like her. I really do. And I'm salty that Travis Kelce got her. But it is what it is. It is what it is. I don't really care anymore that they show Taylor Swift. I just watched the game. They're going to show her a lot more in the Super Bowl. You're just going to have to get over it. And then on the other side, you got the 49ers. The fans are annoying. Once again, they continue to be in the NFC Championship over and over again. And now they're back in the Super Bowl. At least when they were in the Super Bowl with Harbaugh, like, you kind of like that team. They had Kaepernick. Like, Harbaugh, I mean, some people like him, some people don't. You like that team. That team was fine. This team with, you know, trash-talking Debo and, I mean, Trent Williams is cool. I mean, he's a Sooner, and I love his story, him recovering from cancer. But, then Kyle Shanahan. It's just the fans and their whole brand. Nobody really likes them, man. So now it's just two evils going against each other. This is like two Darth Vaders in a Star Wars episode. Who do you even root for? There's no good guy to root for. This is like the freaking Joker versus Venom. Like, who do you root for, man? This is like Monsi Bolanos versus Jason Whitlock.
What?
Now, for the record, I don't mind those guys, but they're polarizing and a lot of people don't like them. But still, who do I even root for? Well, obviously, I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I know I don't want them to win again. I don't want to hear a Mahomes GOAT conversation. Because it's going to get ridiculous. It's going to get disrespectful. I'm not sure that I'm ready for this. But it's coming. Especially if they win. If they win, I don't know if we're going to hear the end of it. We're already hearing GOAT conversations about Travis Kelce. And then Eagles fans are going to be salty about Andy Reid, because we didn't win a title with Andy Reid. We were on the same type of stretch. Like, what? What was that? Five NFC championships in 8 years? Went on like a similar run, but no rings. Yet, this guy is on his way to a third ring with the Chiefs. I mean, it just seems so unfair. It seems like he saved his best for the Chiefs. Or maybe it's just the greatness of Mahomes. I don't know. I'm just sick about this. You know, I'm sick that this is the Super Bowl. But it checks out. It checks out. These have been the two most consistent franchises the last 5 years. They pick the right players. They make the right trades. They got great coaches. They got great front office people. I mean, it's the shame on the NFL that they aren't stopping this type of monopoly. Come on, man. This is the NFL, man. All this stuff y'all got in place to prevent this type of thing and you can't do it? And we still get Chiefs and 49ers in the AFC and NFC Championship? And now we got Chiefs and Niners for the second time in what, 4 years and 5 years? We could have easily got Chiefs and Niners on some Cavs and Warriors type nonsense. But thankfully, the Eagles stopped all that. The Rams and the Bengals stopped all that. Thank God. Because this could have happened two or three more times. and it's happening again. And usually, you know, I want a team like the Niners to get redemption, but, you know, I can't stand their fans so much that the Chiefs got to win. Taylor Swift and all, bro. I'm just mad. The Lions should be there right now. It should at least be Lions and Chiefs. Now, if it was Lions and Chiefs and we would have came full circle from the beginning of the year, I would have laughed. But I wouldn't be livid. I would be laughing right now. But it didn't happen. The Lions choked. The Ravens choked. They weren't built for this. And here we are. A Super Bowl rematch. You got to be kidding me. The Chiefs got back there, but the Eagles didn't. I'm heated. You got to be kidding me. Oh, and one last thing. Speaking of Monsi Bolaños, she posted the classic Kermit meme when someone mentioned that Lamar wasn't quarterbacky and Monsi was right. I mean, it wasn't the best Lamar Jackson game, but he threw for 272 yards. Yeah, he had two picks, but and a fumble. But, I mean, he did all right. I mean, the defense didn't show up, and they got beat up in the trenches. Like, it ain't all his fault. It was going to be a tough matchup. So, of course, as soon as she did that, in response to her quarterbacky comment, of course, Twitter, the ex, piled on and called her all type of names. So many B words and you're a racist. And no, I disagree with that. She's neither of those things. You know, I still disagree with her. Even I quote tweeted, come on, Lamar will be fine. Like this is not the dunk you think it is. Like, Lamar is still like that. Like, he's still up there with the quarterbacks that you think are better than him. He's still up there. Even with that game he had. He's still up there. You didn't prove anything. Like, this was a whole organizational failure. It wasn't just Lamar. Lamar actually did what he could. But even then, she still don't deserve the extra disrespectful comments. I know that's the kind of energy she put out, being kind of disrespectful to Lamar's game. And people just took it the extra mile and just, you know, called her out her name and disrespected her and said she was racist. Man, you had people cooking her in Spanish. Damn! Boy, they was wearing her out in the quote tweets. They really were. She really got cooked tonight. Damn. Damn, bro. Y'all ain't had to go that hard, man. I know I'm kind of simping a little bit, and it doesn't matter. I still disagree with her. It's not... Lamar is a good quarterback. I'm not afraid to say that. He just is. He's a true dual threat quarterback. There's no reason to just... Well, you can criticize him, but to just, you know, use this game to prove he's not a good quarterback, it's just, I just don't agree. I respectfully disagree. Okay? I think he'll be fine. He'll get that ring eventually. Like, these teams are built the right way. This team is built the right way. They got the great coaching staff. It's just now, these guys got to stay healthy. And when they do get to this point, got to quit with the turnovers. You got to stick to your game plan. And you got to just not be undisciplined. Just be ready for the moment. They fell apart. That was a winnable game. They just fell apart. The Chiefs had the poise, and they didn't. It's a shame, man, because I wanted to see the Ravens in the bowl. I wanted to do the Park High struts on the streets of Baltimore.
Facts.
During the parade. But that dream is over. Just like the Ravens season. And they are going to have to catch this fade with the Eagles, too. They're on the schedule as well next season. So we got the Ravens, the Lions, the Packers, all these teams that choked in the playoffs, gotta play them, including the Cowboys. We see them every year. All these teams that choked in the playoffs, we're gonna have to see them next year. And I can't wait. I feel like if the Eagles can get back to what they do, they can beat all these guys because I didn't see them choke on the biggest stage. So obviously the Eagles can beat them. Just saying. But early predictions for the Super Bowl. Well, I mean, come on. I know I want the 49ers to lose really bad. But the Chiefs are going to win, man. I got the Chiefs. If I take away the biasness, I still got the Chiefs. Because, you know, I believe in Mahomes and Reed more than I do the 49ers. What the 49ers have shown lately, I just don't think it's not a great matchup for the Chiefs offense. But then again, I mean, the Ravens defense was slightly better than the 49ers defense. And still, the Chiefs had over 300 total yards on them. So I'm like, the 49ers defense isn't as good. And I feel like the Chiefs can still get their stuff off. And plus, this is one of the best Chiefs defense in recent memory. Like I've been saying, this is probably the best defense since the Derek Thomas days. So that's going to be tough for the 49ers to handle. Like, against the Packers and the Lions, see, it was easier to come back on them because the Packers got a mid defense and the Lions pass defense terrible. So they was able to come back because of that. See, the Chiefs defense, they have the third best pass defense. They're the third best pass defense, and they're not too bad against the run. However, you know, since their run defense is a little weaker than their pass defense, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey might be a problem for them. But I feel like the way their defense have played all season, I feel like they'll have a good plan for Christian McCaffrey. And basically, the 49ers can't come out slow against the Chiefs. They just can't. They're going to get killed, even with these receivers they got. Like, the Ravens secondary against the Chiefs receivers was a mismatch, and yet the Chiefs still was able to move the ball no problem. I love to see the battle in the trenches. But see, the Lions held their own. And the Chiefs are better up front than the Lions. Well, slightly better, because the Lions' offensive line is underrated. Like, they're not talked about enough. Their defensive line is all right. I mean, they got one really good pass rusher and a good run-stopping D-tackle. That's it. Like, the Chiefs' D-line is the truth. It's going to be a good matchup. I got the Chiefs by 3 because it's the Super Bowl. And even though the Niners are overrated and haven't really shown me that they're a Super Bowl winning team, this is still the Super Bowl. They still got really talented players. They still got a really talented coaching staff. It's going to be tough. And then there are some matchups they can exploit. So it's still going to be tough for the Chiefs, but I got the Chiefs winning, even though the 49ers are 2.5-point favorites. But I'm going to enjoy this. It's going to be good to see my family again. But man, go Chiefs. And Taylor Swift, I love you. Aww. All right. Enough of that. All right. I will get into some of the other stuff I was going to get into in the original show before I watch the NFC and AFC championship. Well, I barely watched the AFC championship. Watch the NFC championship for sure. Okay. Coaching Armageddon 2. So let's see. Let's see what we got here. So Bill Belichick isn't the Falcons coach after all. It's Raheem Morris.
What?
I mean, I'm cool with that. It's another black head coach. His resume doesn't stack up to Bill Belichick. No Super Bowls, losing record. Kind of bounced around as a position coach and a defensive coordinator. But what I'm thinking is the players must like him and the ownership must like him. Like, because he's been in the organization. So it must be a relationships thing. And I think that's how Vic Fangio ended up with the Eagles. Now, I can't explain the Kellen Moore hire. I really can't. I don't know what that was about. I don't know how, for the third straight time, we get a San Diego, LA Chargers offensive coordinator and bring him to Philly. It works for 1 year, then it goes to hell or they move on. What is this, man? Come on, man. But anyway, I don't know how that pipeline even exists. But got Kellen Moore. And you got Vic Fangio. Now, Vic Fangio was a consultant for the Eagles team that just went to the Super Bowl last year. So obviously, he has some familiarity with the players and the coaching staff. He must really like the guy. That's why he's our D coordinator now. Keyshawn Johnson destroyed Vic Fangio on Undisputed. He said he's overrated. That outside of that ridiculous 49ers defense, they had, Patrick Willis and, man, I don't know who else they had. They had a bunch of people. But Patrick Willis was the guy on there. That defense was loaded. They had my man from Suitland that grew up down the street from me. They had him. That defense was ridiculous. He was the D coordinator for that team under Harbaugh. So I think that's how he's built such a reputation. And honestly, his defenses with the Broncos were pretty good. And as soon as he left, defense wasn't as good. So I guess that's how he's really built a reputation in the league. And honestly, the Dolphins defense, which is where he just came from, was middle of the road, maybe below average. But I'll say it's because of the injuries. But I think, the D coordinator hiring the Eagles and the head coaching job for the Falcons, I think those were just relationships. And same thing with the Patriots with Gerard Mayo. Gerard Mayo paid his dues and ownership really liked him, so they moved him up. Same thing with the Raiders. I think, honestly, the players just spoke so loudly. It would have been foolish not to hire Antonio Pierce. I'm so happy for him. He deserved it. Everyone and their mama knew that Antonio Pierce deserved to be the coach of that team. Now, let's see if they can win games. Because you know what the NFL is about. Wins and losses. Let me repeat that. It's about wins and losses. Not too much about that other stuff. I'm just saying. So Harbaugh, like I said, this is just another when there's smoke, there's fire. I was naive to believe he was going to stay at Michigan until I first heard he was taking interviews. I mean, I should have known, during the season, there was talk about him being interested in the NFL. So I should have known then that he was going to be in the NFL. Once I heard he was interviewing for the Chargers position and he was interviewing for, I think he was interviewing for the Falcons as well. He may have interviewed for the Titans. He interviewed for multiple teams. So he was serious about getting back into the NFL. What I think it is, he's a competitor. And I'm like, yeah, it's cool he finally won that title for Michigan. He won it for his alma mater. but he wanted that challenge of winning a Super Bowl. He felt like he was so close, and winning that Super Bowl eluded him. The elusive Super Bowl is still in his mind, and he wants to do it. There also could be he don't really like NIL and recruiting and all that. That could be the case too. But I think it's a pure competitive thing that Super Bowl got away from him. And he wants another shot at it. And with the Chargers, they got a good roster, got a good quarterback. He has something to work with. And he's in LA. LA is like that. So, I don't know. My Midwest folks may not want to hear that. But it's like that, man. I'm serious. You can't deny it. At least in my opinion. So, I think Harbaugh is going to do well. He's done well everywhere he's been. So, I'll be shocked if he doesn't do well here. Now, the Bengals offensive coordinator is now the head coach at Tennessee. Makes sense. I mean, Joe Burrow's a beast. And I'm sure he has something to do with that. And also, Mike Vrabel is still out there. Pete Carroll is still out there. Bill Belichick's still out there. Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald. And there are two notable head coaching positions left. The Commanders, a.k.a. the Washington sitcom, and Seattle Seahawks. I'm kind of surprised about the Seahawks. We haven't heard much about them interviewing people. We haven't heard much about them hiring anybody. I mean, I thought for the Commanders, the job was Ben Johnson's to lose. But now I'm hearing they interviewing Mike McDonald on Monday. They've interviewed Dan Quinn twice. They're not interested in Belichick, which is hilarious coming from that franchise. But they're not. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. It should be obvious, especially after this game, after what just happened, how they were a few boneheaded mistakes from making a Super Bowl. Ben Johnson should be the choice here, but I don't know. I don't know the nuances and the specifics with the interview and the process. I mean, they just hired a new GM in Washington, so I don't know what type of process they're doing, but you should go with Ben Johnson. But if not, I mean, Dan Quinn would be funny. It's just be North Turner all over again. I mean, North Turner did great. I mean, he got the Commanders to the second round and almost to the NFC Championship. But he faded out. I mean, but Mike McDonald, young coach, architect of the Ravens defense that is a beast. That would be nice, too. But we'll see. It's all these coaching changes, and that's just football. I mean, basketball. What in the world just happened with this Adrian Griffin, Doc Rivers thing? This is one of the most head-scratching decisions ever. The team is 30-13. Sure, they're not that great on defense. Their defense is falling off. Still, they were 31-13. They were 30-13. Well, now they're like maybe 32-14, 32-13, whatever. They were 30-13. They were second in the East. They blew out Boston. But they changed coaches. It's got to be something specific. Maybe the players were speaking out. Maybe they didn't like the direction it was going. Maybe they thought they couldn't beat Boston with this coach. But I don't get it. Like, why make a change now? And why make a change to hire Doc Rivers? Now, when the Hawks did this last year with Quinn Snyder, I can kind of understand. I mean, the Hawks were mid. They were declining. So, Quinn Snyder, I mean, that's fine. Like, if you think he's a better coach, that works. This one, I don't really understand. especially with Doc Rivers' record in the playoffs, especially in game sevens. Like, he got a losing record in game sevens. Like, come on, man. I don't really get this one. Is this supposed to get them over the hump? Why not promote another assistant coach? I just don't get this move. It had to mean something with the players, or the players are just soft. I don't know. But they're not going to win. They're not going to win. It's too much chaos in there. It's too much chaos. They think this is going to get them over the hump and get them another title. It's just not. I don't know how they let go of Budenholzer. Come on, man. They don't know what they're doing over there. They're not winning jack squat. They're going to lose in the second round or the conference championship. They don't know what they're doing over there. They loafing. Don't get that move at all, bro. They tripping. Oh, and also, the Wizards got rid of Wes Unseld Jr. Now, that was predictable. Everyone knew he was gone. You can't be the head coach of the worst team in franchise history, arguably, and keep your job. There is no way. I was naive to think that he was going to last for the whole season. I was thinking at the earliest All-Star weekend. He didn't even make it to All-Star weekend. So he's gone. The top assistant is coaching, whatever his name is. I forgot already. And now he's in the front office collecting his head coach checks. Like, his contract's still not up, so he's still going to get paid. He's just going to be in a different role. Hopefully this role is better suited for him. Or maybe we're just making him the scapegoat for a rebuilding roster that had very little chance anyway. I don't know. Whatever it is, we knew it was going to be done. There's still a lot of work to do. I wasn't doing backflips. I wasn't popping bottles. I wasn't shooting fireworks. I wasn't doing any of that. I wasn't that hype. Especially since Wes Unseld Jr. is a nice guy and he was one of my Lyft passengers. So I kind of feel bad that we're letting him go. But it's a start. Like, moves have to be made. This team is terrible. And that's on everything I love. Arguably the worst Wizards team of all time. Accountability is a must. But I wish him the best, man. Seriously, man, Wes Unseld Jr. is a nice guy. And his dad is one of the best players in franchise history. It's arguably the face of the franchise. But man, come on, man. Something had to be done. But I still don't think this is that great of a move. But whatever. You know, we beat the Pistons. That's great. The Pistons are terrible, but they beat OKC. I got to give them props for that. OKC's on a roll and was tied for first like a few days ago. Like, first in the West. So this is a great win for the Pistons. That was their best win all season. So I love it. I love it for them. Especially since the Wizards beat them at their place. We had to get that back in blood. They beat us in front of our crowd on MLK Day. So we had to come back and beat them again in Detroit. I love it. I absolutely love it. But coaching Armageddon is crazy. All this moving around and stuff. Some of it makes sense. Some of it doesn't. And we'll see how everything turns out when these guys get on the field. Back to basketball. Man, people are going crazy. Luka Doncic has 73. Unfortunately, it was against the Ice Trey game. And you know how I treat Luka versus Trey matchups. They're like Magic and Bird, in my opinion. I know, a little outlandish. Oh, T.O. Ha, that's hilarious. T.O. Ha, T.O. hilarious. Anyway, I treat them like Magic and Bird. And for Luka to do that against Trey, I'm kind of sick about it. But he's so fun to watch. Every step back was falling. Anytime he get an angle on his defender, is over. It was just a joy to watch. Devin Booker is going crazy. He's scoring like 1987 MJ and 07 Kobe and Wilt. He going off, bro. He had a 63-point game. He had another 60-point game. He just had another 44. He just had a 44-point game. Devin Booker is going off on a team with KD and Bill on it. Like, this guy is on one. Like, he's killing it. And then Cat, Carl Anthony Towns had 60 against Charlotte. I don't know how they lost, but he had 60 versus Charlotte. I mean, who's next? Embiid has 70. He kicked it all off. Embiid has 70 versus San Antonio. Like, San Antonio was a really good matchup for Embiid. They struggled to guard bigs all season. Devin Booker's just on a roll. What else? Cat had a really good matchup. Charlotte is not very good, so I can see how he got 60 on them. Wow. I'm sure Giannis went off against the Pacers. They're a terrible defensive team, but that was a while ago. Man, these people going off, man. And it's a pleasure to watch. I mean, it makes defense in the NBA look bad, but it's fun to watch, and there's some things you can take from their game and put it in your game. So I'm enjoying it. It's so much fun. Embiid is just having another MVP season. He's been a joy to watch. I hope I get to see him in person before the year is over, because this prime Embiid is not going to last forever. Father Time's undefeated, and he's already had a bunch of injuries. But it has been so fun to watch, because this guy is so good at basketball. Like, I saw him in person twice last year, and it was a pleasure both times. So hopefully I get to see him again. If I had the money and the time, I'm going to do it. If not, you know, I'll settle for watching him on TV. He's that good. Now, final thing. Funny story about after the Eagles lost. So I cut the game off about midway through the fourth quarter. I knew it was the end of the bird. I knew it was a wrap. I knew I was defeated, and the Eagles were defeated. However, I got on Madden, like I always do when I'm really mad about football. I get on Madden, and the Eagles had trouble stopping the man-to-man cover zero blitz the last 2 weeks. Basically, the whole second half of the season. So my crazy behind goes in practice mode, chooses the Eagles versus the Buccaneers, set the Buccaneers defense to a cover zero all-out blitz, and I ran like 25 to 50 plays against that. I mean, I threw some picks. I threw more picks than touchdowns, sure. But, you know, I was getting in. I was cooking that defense. There was mistakes made, but I was cooking that defense. That's how it sounds so maniacal, but it was a great way to relieve stress and to get closure about the game. And then I changed it up and changed it to man-to-man once again. I struggled at first, but then I started cooking that defense. It's just like anytime I could find a matchup I liked, I took it. Just like when I played Madden with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Anytime I saw a linebacker on freaking Mark Andrews, every time I saw that in press coverage, oh, I cooked them every time. So I was like, man, how hard could this be? I was just flaming cover zero because I was mad at the Eagles for not having to answer for it. That's what type of time I be on sometimes. It was nuts, but it was a great way to relieve stress. It was crazy, but it worked. Oh, man, crazy story. But anyway, man, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. It's Mr. Van Pugh. Go Chiefs. Man, I wish they'd both lose. Some people are rooting for the mediator or a freaking bomb. Let's not go that far. But yeah, it'd be great if both teams lost. But go Chiefs. For real. Wizards trash. Can't wait for the soccer season and baseball season to start. And the DC weather is crazy. But you already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the GOAT Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.